When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It comes down to the basics, like actually look someone in the eye, shake their hand, and like get to know them. Like those are things that were just like normal traits back like when I was growing up and being brought up in, and just having that respect for the men and women to your left and right. Simple shit. Like, I mean, dude, holding the door open, yes sir, yes ma'am, like no sir, no ma'am, like those different things, and you don't see that nowadays.
Let's go.
Welcome to Citizen. We've got a special guest today, Jake Arvold from First Form Outdoors. How's it going?
Going good, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, for sure. We like your products. So there's probably some on the desk behind me there. I see some OptiGreens, yeah. And a red Solo cup. That's nice.
Hey, R.I.P. Toby Keith.
Yeah. I don't really care, but apparently he was in the red. I don't understand that joke, but my guy, my co-host Ross and Drinker Bros has been talking about it ever since it happened. He was like throwing red Solo cups all over the office.
Really?
I guess Toby was just a drunk asshole, right?
Well, one of his classic songs was Red Solo Cup. So I don't know him entirely, but definitely if you grew up like I did in the country, Wisconsin area, you knew that song. So.
Where in Wisconsin did you grow up?
Menominee, Wisconsin. Right in from Minneapolis. Yep, me no money. Yeah. Right in from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So you guys get the all the people on Saturday coming over to buy Spotted Cow because they can't buy it on Sunday, or can't buy it at all, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what happens.
So tell me about growing up in Menominee.
Yeah. What do you want to know?
Well, the weather sucks.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Polar Vortex area. I mean, pretty much everyone here at headquarters looks at it and says that I'm Southern Canadian in that aspect, because definitely we like ice fishing and believe we're pretty close to Canada up there. So might catch some of the accent throughout it, but it was good. I grew up on a farm. It had about 418 acres. I'm very much an individual who grew up with parents and a family background who had more of the entrepreneurship background piece to it. We raised beef cattle, friggin' switched to elk. We started Elk Rock Ranch up in northern Wisconsin, about 1,100 acre hunting preserve up there. Built that out with my dad, uncles. Honestly, just super blessed, fortunate for the family that I did get brought up in and the opportunities that I had. My original gym days were chucking square bales, picking rocks. And I was the fat farm kid growing up. Mm. So it's crazy how one door closes, other doors open up and leads us down here.
Yeah. So what were you doing before First Form?
Yeah. So before First Form, I went through, of course, up in Wisconsin. I started a CrossFit gym, the Machine Shed Sports Performance. Started that actually back when I was in college up at UW-Stout. That is like what started the whole trajectory of working at First Form. I actually started that gym listening to Andy's podcast back 2015 when he originally started the MFCO project. Started the gym, got into that, built that piece out, and then went on to sell that. Had a few rental properties, got in the real estate side of things, and got off a position to work down here at headquarters, and then been down here for the last 5 years.
You've participated in some competitive stuff, but I guess you're more angled towards over the last, let's say 3 or 4 years, towards the outdoor stuff more so, right? And then I know First Form's trying to build out or further build out their first form outdoors program. Something that we did at Black Rifle too. It was a really, I mean, you know, it started just because everybody loved it. Evan, Matt, not Jared so much, but Evan, Matt, Logan, Baker, they just like to hunt, fish, so on and so forth. So, you know, we figured if we're going to do this stuff anyways, we may as well bring some coffee with and fucking video everything. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I started, you know, like I said, growing up on the farm, like definitely I was not the fit, active kid. I actually started like the fitness background, got into it. Buddies and I used to say is like, you know, ex-girlfriends build bodybuilders in that way. So that was kind of the gateway into the gym, started working out, started in more of the bodybuilding side of things, got into CrossFit, got my ass handed to me in that sense. And very, very humbling process there. And then of course got into the CrossFit competitive side of things, done the strongman, or not the strongman, but more of the powerlifting side, bodybuilding side. And then really for me, like I started CrossFit because it allowed me to do things outside of the gym more so, right? I love going out elk hunting out west. I've been going out there ever since I was 8 years old. I mean, my dad made me go through and pack up the mule and travel to the back 40, camp out by myself through a thunderstorm to earn that trip. So the aspect, like both my grandfathers are gone, and really starting first from outdoors comes from a place of like, we talk a lot about passing on the outdoor heritage and doing all these different things. But reality is like, you can't pass it on if you're dead. And if we can live a healthier, more fit, active lifestyle, and just allowing us to not only pass on the outdoor heritage, but it allows us to go through and actually stick around. And I think that's, you know, of course I love to go out and do those different things, but I see a lot of negative, aspects in the outdoor space that really are similar to the ones that, we're actually seeing in the, really the fitness space when First Form came to be, and a lot of what Andy, Chris, all the guys here at First Form have done over the years prior to even me being here and impacting the fitness space. Like I see a lot of the negative, it's just grown men and women bickering back and forth. And it's just like, there's so much BS that happens within that space where it's like, hey, let's be individuals of character and integrity who actually want to go through and get more people involved in what we love to do as well. So there's more to it than just like, hey, just bring the product along.
Yeah. I think that's been a big problem for, libertarians, to be honest, we're not going to take a political turn just yet, but from the outside looking in, a lot of the things that they believe at their core is very attractive to Americans these days because they're kind of, you know, disenfranchised by these two political parties that kind of act in unison a lot. But when you look from the outside in and you see bickering and infighting and shit like that, it's not a very attractive proposition because that's what you're experiencing now. So you got to stand out a little bit. And I think, you know, people like Cam Haynes, Steve Rinella and stuff, and then obviously Joe amplifying a lot of this stuff has been really helpful for people because they stay away from all the nonsense, bickering and whatnot, and just kind of like, you know, talk about conservationism and hunting. And another thing that they've really brought back into the public sphere is kind of highlighting how we've lost our relationship with the outdoors in a lot of ways. You know, partly, I guess, because of convenience and partly because of the hectic nature of life these days. But that, you know, talking about, it's one thing to say, oh, we're not outdoors as much anymore. And it's like, all right, well, we're not a lot of things anymore. Right. So who cares? But then you got to bring it, you know, full circle and talk about what is it that we've lost? We've lost our relationship between effort and outcome. Like we don't know where our food comes from anymore. And then the third order effect is that we're eating heavily processed fucking bullshit all the time and poisoning our bodies. You know what I mean? And then we're not getting enough sunlight. I think 70%, 70, 80% of Americans are vitamin D deficient. And a lot of people take vitamin D supplements, but that's not the answer. You got to go outside and stand in the fucking sunlight. Right. So there's like all these second, third order effects of, you know, and look, I'm not a Luddite. It's not upsetting to me that we're progressing technologically in the West, but you know, don't be an idiot, right? Don't think that you can outsmart nature because that shit ain't happening.
No. And that's when you look at that piece is like a lot of what I feel like it is wrong within our country or just how people treat one another. really is lost through lessons that have been taught or learned at a younger age, right? And just, I think it comes down to, you know, having that, just the integrity side of things, right? Being an individual as a character who actually go through and follow through on different pieces. Like I was born and raised in the sense of like, you go through, like your word is just as good as a written contract. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, look someone in the eye, shake their hand. Like that's the morals. And I guess the code, like the ethics that I was brought up in, to where you disconnect people from the outdoors, and you can't blame people who weren't born into it. Like I had a family who got me involved into the outdoors. And this is like the dividing piece that I see. And I love what Cam, Ranella, all these guys are going through and doing, because like you said, they're not getting in the political sense. They're leading by example, and they're giving people a way to go out and do it, to go experience it.
Yeah.
Right.
And not just getting the cool picture or the cool video, but explaining how you, dude, fucking regular dick on, that lives in a city somewhere, can go out and actually do this too, right?
Yeah, 100%. Dude, we got Sean in here, right? And I'll go through him and throw him under the bus, because he'd definitely do it too. And I ultimately led him into spending way too much money into the outdoor space, getting that gap. But, like, dude, he's from Long Island, New York. His parents and everything now ultimately think that he's been lost to the dark side kind of thing, because he's got a beard, drives a truck, shoots guns, gets out into the outdoors. Like when I brought him over to a baby shower at my house and took him down into the basement, went through, I got my little like bow range and everything set up there, let him shoot my bow. And then I was like, dude, it's like, what do you think? He's like, oh, that's pretty cool. I'm like, all right, it's yours. You can use it, right? Go through. It's like, if you want to go through, get into it. And now, because just giving him the gateway to go out and try it, like there's a lot of gatekeeping and there's a lot of ego in the outdoor space, and not just in the outdoor, like of the hunting side of things, but it's like, what are we doing as individuals to actually get other people involved into the outdoor space? Cause there's a lot of, it's just like ignorance. They don't know, they can't understand what it's like to go out and go on a hunt for the first time. Right. And a lot of ego on the inside of the outdoor space is like, well, if you don't like it my way, well then fuck you. Right. To where it's like, we have this pillar we're trying to stand on, when reality is like, let's actually have an honest conversation, get to know people, see their points of view. Like, you don't have to agree with me, I don't have to agree with you. That's what makes America great. It's like, we can all have our own opinions, but like allowing people to see different perspectives and getting in, like actually getting them involved, allows so many bridge gaps. And honestly, within the first form ecosystem, because we have such a large platform of people who don't know the outdoor space, like I've had a lot of conversations of people who are like, what is this first form outdoors thing? Like, I can't believe you would go shoot a bear or hunt, you know, an elk. It's like, okay, well, let's have a conversation about it. Right. And most of what comes on, there's just so many keypad warriors to where they just like, they don't want to have that confrontational conversation, or they think it's going to be confrontational, and it might be, it's uncomfortable, but it's like, that's where the progress is made. And honestly, like an understanding is made between two different people, at least like you kind of get where points of views are. Doesn't mean it's all going to be perfect all the time, but we can help bridge that gap going into the outdoor space, and not just, you know, essentially point the finger and say, my way is better than yours. It's like, no, I'm just going to show you what it means to be, I believe, a good steward of the outdoors, right? And get people involved into it.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah. When, you know, the gatekeeper thing, I, from a like respect and conservationist perspective, I understand it to some degree. You know, you'll hear phrases like take care of the land and it'll take care of you. And that's an absolutely true statement. But you know, I think about medicine, like, you know, in a large sense, I think about ways in which we sustain ourselves, like medicine, clean drinking water, food, shelter. In medicine, the primary objective is do no harm, right? That's the first thing, is do no harm. And I think if there's a huge informational barrier to entry for people being able to take care of themselves, which is to say, find high quality protein, high quality calories, right? Or get the benefits of outdoor life, whether it be, you know, the way that it affects your mood, or, you know, whatever else is going on out there, getting vitamin D even. Any barrier to entry that would prevent people from taking care of themselves, you know how to do that, then that's a problem you're responsible for addressing, if you have the answers, in my opinion. You know what I mean? It's like, being a gatekeeper and trying to hoard that stuff or keep it for yourself or something like that, that makes you an asshole, actually, not somebody that's like, oh, I stand up for the hunting community. It's like, no, I stand up for human beings. You know what I mean? That should kind of be your focus there, I think. So whenever I see that stuff, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit, but it is something of an issue. But you know, the good news is those people can go fuck themselves. They can't stop me from telling people shit, right?
Yeah. Well, that's to your point. Like, you're an asshole if you have the information, you're not willing to go through and share it. Well, you're the asshole, but you also can't be upset that you're not getting the recognition for not going through and supplying the information that people can benefit from, right? And people can thrive from. And that's where you see a lot of that in the outdoor space, the hunting space. So you see a lot of people down social media, right? And like bash social media and all these different areas. Well, social media is like a hammer. You can use it to build a beautiful home or break the beautiful home. And it's like, how are you choosing to use it? Are you just consuming the negative? Because all you're going to get is more negative. It's like, or are you trying to be a part of the solution and put positive things out there? It's like, you look at Cam. Cam's going out leading by example, living the lifestyle, getting after it, like doing great things that I believe in the outdoor space. And there's a lot of people who go through and bash him for doing different things or putting it on social media. It's like, well, what is that doing for the outdoor space or the outdoor community, right? All that does for people on the outside looking in, it's like I look at it as like a college party, right? Like if you're coming over to a party and you're looking in the window, you're wanting to go in and get in this ecosystem, and all it is a huge brawl going on inside. Are you going to want to join in? Are you going to want to get involved? No, you're going to go find something else, or you're going to go through and be like, well, that's just how those people handle it. It's like, yeah. How are we treating each other inside? And to your point, like, dude, there is no better feeling in the world. I mean, there's a lot of great feelings out there, but the fact that you can go through and provide for your family and, you know, go out, put meat in the freezer and know exactly where it came from, know all the effort that was put in to go through and harvest that, to clean that, like, that's where you have more of a personal connection to, like, the actual, like, the animal that is providing sustenance to you, your body, whether you harvested the animal, you plant the actual, like, the vegetables. And I know not everyone can go through and do that, but knowing where it's coming from gives you a better sense of pride in what it is you are actually consuming, and a lot more respect for it, where most people are disconnected from all of those things, right? I mean, that's, look at COVID, right? Like, I think one of the best things that ultimately came from that kind of scenario is showed people like how dependent they are in different areas. And you saw a lot of people go through and like struggle a lot, and knowing like, okay, well, I saw more and more people get outdoors and do those different things because like they wanted to have more independence or ultimately learn more about those different things. How do they provide? How do they do, you know, just the simple survival based skills. We had a conversation in-house here with a couple of the guys a while back. It's like, I wonder how many people actually, if we asked them to go plant a garden, if they'd know how to do it. Simple shit.
Mm. Yeah, I think, you know, decentralization is a big buzzword these days, but you know, one of the things I like to tell people a lot is that if you're one of these folks who wants limited government intrusion in your life, then you really got to be careful about, you know, which shortcuts you take, because you're building pathways for other people to take those shortcuts, and they go from pathways to streets to roads to highways, you know what I mean? And the infrastructure builds up around them, and it becomes prohibitive to take any other kind of street to get to where you're going, or any kind of path to get where you're going. Like, we all understand, I think, to some degree, the importance of building resilient communities. And it's obvious, right? We should build walls around our communities. We've been doing it for thousands of tens of thousands of years now, around our homes, et cetera, to protect ourselves from existential threats and stuff like that. But we don't do that as much with, I guess, our psychological community or our soul, for if you want to use that phrase. And I think a lot of it starts not just with what we eat, which is really important. Quality calories really matter. Just, you know, the stuff that we've realized over the past couple of decades, that 95% of the serotonin is in your gut, you know what I mean, for example. Yeah. Or that you know, your endocrine system is highly dependent on your gut health as well. This episode is also brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com, the best coffee in the world. As a matter of fact, they won both the gold and bronze medal at the Golden Bean Awards this year for their exclusive coffee club entries in the elite category. So the best coffee on earth literally was Circus Bear by Black Rifle, one of their ECS. So I recommend that you go sign up for the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. And, you know, you get all the benefits for being in the coffee club. You get the free shipping. You get access to all the partner deals. You get access to the exclusive coffee club. You get access to any new products that come out before anybody else does. You know, it's a very large club that they have over there. And the coffees are premium. Every single one of them is good. You're going to get experience for you. You can do just the plain coffee club. And if you want your two bags of espresso or your two bags of silencer smooth or whatever it is you drink, you can get those two bags or one bag or whatever you want every month, or rather, you can use the ECS, the exclusive coffee club, and get access to some of the most premium coffees on the planet and kind of learn what it is that you like. You know what I mean? So then you can order those premium coffees from Black Rifle as well. So, and we all know they got the best branding, the best merch, and they're buddies. You know, we're all friends here. We love Black Rifle. So go to BlackRifleCoffee.com, sign up for the coffee club, or buy something. Do whatever you want. Use the code CITIZEN. You're going to get those points off. It's not just dependent on that and what we eat, but how we get the food we eat as well, right? And I think you make a good point about about sourcing stuff and feeling some connection to it. There's something called the IKEA effect, where if you receive something 80% assembled and you finish it, you finish the last 20% yourself, you feel a greater sense of pride and ownership over that thing, right? Even if you only do 20% of the work, you still feel more connected to it. And I think it's really important to feel connected to that stuff, because when some dumb impossible burger bullshit comes around, you're like, oh, that might be something. You know, if you've got a real connection to the earth and you understand where food comes from and like how this whole cycle of nature works, you would look at that stuff and be like, no fucking way, dude. Like get out of here with that alien, but it's alien bullshit. Like get out of here with that stuff. You know what I mean? You'll never even consider using that stuff. But we've gone through the paces over the last, let's say 30 or 40 years of, I mean, shit, if you want to go back to the 50s too, with the way that the US government lied to us about health and nutrition and stuff. And I have a bunch of friends in Canada and they got fucked over generationally by that same USDA nonsense, right? Making shit up, just making it up. Like none of it was ever real. Yep. Corn syrup and grain, all this bullshit. Mm-hmm. It was all nonsense. Low fat, mm-hmm. stupid, right? It doesn't even make any mm-hmm. sense. Like it doesn't make any sense at all. But if you're in touch with what's going on there, you understand very simple biological things. You don't have to be an expert on this stuff. You understand that human beings have a single stomach. So leafy greens and stuff like this that you're told to eat, the bioavailability for you is very low. But for a ruminant animal with four stomachs, it's very high for them, right? So they're going to eat it. It's going to get lodged in their fat. Then you eat their protein and fat, and you get that nutrient, right? Instead of trying to take 10 times what you should be taking and it being less bioavailable.
Right.
It's like, yep. You would understand simple stuff like this, right? If you just get back to the land a little bit. And it seems to me there's a parallel here with our philosophy and our day-to-day lives vis-a-vis what we eat. Like it seems like every 100 or 200 years we rediscover Stoics. Like, oh, do you remember Marcus Aurelius? That guy was super smart. Like, yeah, no shit, dude. Like, what the fuck are we talking? Why are we forgetting this stuff every mm-hmm. generation? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. So I think it helps a lot that we're kind of trending towards getting back outdoors these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, well, going to your point in that, like, it doesn't have to be complicated, right? And that's everything that we coach and everything, even just here within First Form and just anyone that I've ever worked with, my family, my friends, like it's all complicated BS, right? Like there's so much stuff, like what are people being fed on a day-to-day basis when it comes into media, propaganda, all this different stuff. Like I've watched my parents go through different, you know, cayenne, maple syrup, lemonade, cleanse, diet BS, right?
Yeah, you don't need to cleanse your body, by the way. You have a pancreas and a liver and kidneys. They cleanse your body.
you have it. Just go through. It's like your body's a phenomenal machine. Give it the maintenance that it needs. Put it to work. Like, it's a, like, I mean, that your body is very, very good at going through and healing itself, taking care of itself. But it is meant to move. It is meant to perform, right? And actually get out there, get in the sunlight, right? Go on a walk, go on a hike. That's like, we go through the big, we talk about it, the big four here at headquarters is just protein, calories, water, movement. If you can master those four, right? And really hone those four pieces in, like eat calories based toward your goals, hit a good protein intake, right? Base gram per pound of goal body weight, like keep it simple, right? Whole foods, supplementation, whatever we're needed to do to help fill those gaps. And then water, because our body is predominantly made up of water, like amazing. Most people are underhydrated. They're not drinking enough water to really, really thrive and perform at their best. And then are you actually getting out and moving? And it doesn't, when I say like move, I don't mean like go do a crazy workout and do X amount of miles every single day. It's go out and move with purpose for 30, 45 minutes on a day-to-day basis. Like you will see significant results in living a healthier lifestyle. One, because now you're actually most likely getting outside, getting more sunlight, vitamin D, like compounding effect. You're drinking more water, you're staying more hydrated, which is going to push you to not maybe eat more of the BS that we don't need to go through and eat. Prioritizing protein, which is going to help keep you more satiated. You're hitting calories, like we're doing a lot better things, right? And you go back years back, and even when I was in college and going through the different stuff I did, like the number one argument that I had in college was like my nutrition class that I was taking, and they were going off the pyramid, food pyramid. And I was like, this is asinine. Like everything that, I mean, I didn't know a lot. I still learn, I have things to learn continuously going forward, but I knew that well enough to know like, this is something that is bought and paid for to go push different agendas in different areas, right? And like, I've watched people literally change their lives by doing literally the opposite of what this is. And I think a lot of people just fall into a spot where they don't ask enough questions and they don't do enough of their research. They just, they believe what's on the news and they run with it. Or they see an ad or some famous individual who ultimately, you know, they take their word for gold and run with it.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. I mean, if you want a practical example of what that movement and just like doing stuff the way that we've been programmed, I guess, or designed to do, think about rivers and streams. I mean, would you drink out of a stagnant stream? Right. Or would you drink out of a pond versus a river? Probably not. Right. Cause it's going to be gross. You know, just the moving around is what fucking, that's kind of how life works. You know what I mean? We're 70 some percent water. And you know, you're not going to see any new bottled water pop up. That's like, oh, 100% pond water. It doesn't move at all. Don't worry about it. And there's just like green shit floating in it.
Yeah.
And then you think about like some of the other obvious lies we've been told. You mentioned it with the food pyramid, but low fat and high carb diets is the dumbest thing that I've ever heard of in my life. For those of you who don't know, I'll make this brief, but in the same way that salt and electrolytes draw water into your bloodstream, which is why it's important to not just drink only water all the time. You need to get electrolytes too. Lipids, fats carry nutrients into your bloodstream. They are Uber for nutrients. So if you have a low fat, high carb diet, that is how we've ended up with people who are simultaneously malnourished and obese. I mean, those two things should be mutually exclusive. You know what I mean? But we've programmed it such that people are vitamin deficient and obese at the same time. Like you've eaten so much, but you're still fucked, right? I mean, that should be impossible, but we've made it that way through our own fucking ignorance, right? And then that's inflammation that comes along with that as well.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, like, again, it's looking at it, it's like, well, they say you got to do this low fat diet. Okay. Well, who's paying for that? Right. Like what agenda is being pushed there? Cause honestly, at the end of the day, when it comes down to diet and nutrition, is like it's a math game. The further we get into it is like you got protein, fats, carbs, and then really the big thing I wish I would have even known more about back when I started is like, what are you doing for the micronutrients, right? Are you getting enough vitamins and minerals into your diet? Are you looking at gut health? Are you eating foods that are rich in probiotics, digestive enzymes? You know, a lot of that comes down, like I see a lot of people who are doing, you know, a lot more of this the homesteader lifestyle side of things, and you see the trend pieces to it. My wife's got us rolling. I mean, we got chickens in our backyard and everything. but it's like, I mean, there's a lot of relevance to it of go through and make sure you're taking care of your body, given the things that you need. Fats and carbs are interchangeable, right? Like what are we doing to move forward? Because yes, fats go through, help deliver those different nutrients, but also like, I mean, they play a huge role in your body. I mean, your hormonal responses, mm-hmm. like they play, that is a huge factor to it. And it's like, it's kind of like anything. It's like too much of a good thing can be a bad thing, you know? And if you go through and just eliminate everything, well, that's a bad thing. It's like, well, how do we go through and ultimately create just harmony between all of them? Right. And what's going to allow you to perform at your best, feel your best. And, you know, that whole like elimination diet of like, well, we just got to cut everything out. Like that's no, what kind of life is that to be able to live as well? I think it's just most people go through and they grab whatever food they want, throw it in their mouth. They never even know what's in it.
Yeah. It's like, crazy.
When's the last time someone checked the nutrient like label in the back of like a Ben and Jerry's or anything?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would recommend not eating anything that comes out of a bag or a box if you can help it. Just if you really want to look, and I know that can be complicated. It can be expensive. It can be time consuming, but, if you're going to eliminate stuff, if you're in that space now where you're thinking about eliminating certain things from your diet because you want to feel better, start with that. Anything that's been processed to any degree, even stuff that you don't think would necessarily be bad, maybe look into it because it probably is. Mm-hmm. If it's mass produced, it's probably fucked. And you know, like that stuff, a good parallel for mass-produced food is social media. It is designed to keep you on the platform, right? They want to grab as much of your attention as possible. That's why MSG exists. It doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't make the food more nutritious or better or anything like that. All it does is tell your brain you're addicted to that now. That's what MSG does, right? And it's in so much stuff.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, a simple thing to even start in that piece is like, back when I coached a lot, just getting people in the idea of eating healthier is, hey, if you're going to the supermarket, you're doing these things, like just stick to the perimeter, right? Like if you look at getting everything that you can get from the perimeter of the grocery store, right? Because you're going to have more of your fresh fruits, your vegetables, your meats, like all your produce, your proteins, all those things are out on that perimeter, eggs, all that stuff. And then all of the boxed and bagged things are going to be in the aisles, right? So that's just like a simple, easy thing for people to be able to go through and do. But even in that, it's like, I don't know, it's wild. We could go down a rabbit hole in that piece.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, like, you know, and it's going to be a little bit different for everybody as far as macronutrients mm-hmm. go. I think, you know, depending on your environment and stuff like that, and then your heritage as well, where you come from evolutionarily, it's going to be a little bit different here and there. But, you know, you can get it in the ballpark pretty easily by following some decent advice. You know what I mean? And then, you know, some of the stuff that I think about with this, you know, when, and it's been the case forever, there's a really good book called The Attention Merchants, written by a guy named Tim Wu, and he talks about how the snake oil salesman from the 19th century became the mentors, for lack of a better phrase, of the late 19th century and early 20th century political advertisers, right? You know, like the guy on the radio when the radio came around saying wild ass shit and coming up with fucking stupid nicknames for people and making promises they can't keep. And then those same marketing tactics eventually made their way to Madison Avenue and became Mad Men, right? I mean, that was the progression of that stuff. And it was all designed to exploit human addiction, really. And the same way that social media was designed to exploit human addiction, the same way that corn syrup and things like that were designed to do the same. And tobacco, I suppose, to some degree as well. Talking about second, third order effects of this stuff and addiction. You know, it sounds negative, I guess. And some people are like, oh, you crave, you're still addicted. Now you're just addicted to CrossFit or you're addicted to whatever else. It's like that's kind of a fatalistic and cynical way to think about that. We crave routine, right? And addiction is the extreme version of routine. It's like, I got to get this fixed every single day. I need to have this dopamine hit every single day. Otherwise, I don't feel like myself. I don't feel good. And nature abhors a vacuum. So if you don't scratch that itch, vices will come find you, right? It may not be a drug or a substance or something like that, but it's going to be something. It's going to be vanity. It's going to be victimhood or depression, or something's going to come find you. And, you know, we become addicted to like food or attention or drugs or whatever, but it's all the same shit. And then there's the psychological issues that come out of that, that people are having now. Like I could talk about vet military suicide issues, which are complex, right? There's a lot of stuff going on there. There's hormone issues. There's post-traumatic stress. There's obviously traumatic brain injury and stuff like that, that all kind of feed into this to some degree. But 30% of people, 30% of vet and mil who commit suicide now, who kill themselves, are people who've never deployed before, right? So it isn't just the trauma. It isn't just the toxic exposure overseas. It isn't just the getting blown up bullshit, right? There's more going on than what we're talking about here. If the largest growing contingent are people who haven't even deployed, that means we're probably looking at a societal-wide issue, right, of psychological health. And then you can confirm that because the fastest growing contingent on the civilian side of suicide and suicide attempts are teenage girls who have historically been pretty resilient towards this. They've been the lowest number group of all, despite that fucking TV series that came out back in the day. But yeah, they've been, I guess, the most resilient against self-harm of any of the other contingents. And now they're the fastest growing one. So we've got problems that are pretty broad here. And we seem to be content just,
why do you think that is? Like, I'm super sure. Curious. Like, why do you think that piece, why do you think that's growing?
Well, I think it's hormone issues probably is the primary contributor. Hormone issues, and then, you know, coddling people and telling them it's okay to be a victim, are that's really right. Bad. So, you know, the average 21-year-old man in America right now has the same level of testosterone that a fucking 65-year-old had in 2001. Yeah. That's a fucking problem. Yep. And it's reflected in on the female side as well. And if you know how, if anybody that's been on gear or been on TRT or anything like that, even from the female side or male side, it doesn't really matter. You know that your body tries to compensate, right? So, excuse me, if you have a precipitous dip in testosterone, your body will try to fucking fill that gap somewhere, right? Or if you have a sudden rise in testosterone, your body will produce more estrogen or something like that, right? You have to, nature is supposed to balance these things out. But now we have the vast majority of Western society have been inundated daily with endocrine disruptors. Everything, plastics and the fucking shit you use to wash your hair, right? Like pretty much everything we come into contact with to some degrees is affecting our endocrine system. If you're not careful, right? I don't come into contact with too much of that stuff anymore. Even fucking receipts at grocery stores, you shouldn't touch that shit. If they hand you a receipt, just tell them to put it on the fucking ground, walk away. I'm not even kidding. All this stuff that you come into contact with on a daily basis. And you know, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe a good example of this. Think of like, I guess in society, the best definition of this, because we don't have a whole lot of experience with the normal version, but roid rage, right? You think of that? That's what that is, right? It's a hormone imbalance that's fucking driving somebody fucking nuts. Or you can think of, you know, a woman that's having PMS. She's a little upset that week, right? We've all dealt with the last one. I don't know if a lot of people have dealt with roid rage, but
most people have had that last.
Yeah, one. Sure. Yeah. But I don't think a lot of people have dealt with roid rage, but it's not just women who experience that. Men experience that too now. Right. Yeah. So we don't even see that as an issue with the average ordinary man who's not on gear or anything, but it's become an issue because we've taken such a heavy hit over the last 20 years with our testosterone levels. So we were completely unprepared to deal with that shit. And then, you know, the real danger I think comes when things are going well in life, but you're still, your hormone levels are fucked and you still feel like shit all the time, both physically and mentally, and things are going well. That's the point. Cause like, if you're feeling like shit, you're like, oh, I got a cold, like, oh, I'll get better. Right. Or if you're feeling like shit, you're like, I'm out of shape, I need to go get in shape. But if you're in relatively good shape, things are going well at home and you still feel bad, that's a really dangerous point for somebody to be in, because there's no light at the end of that tunnel. You just think that's how life is now. And that's fucking, that sucks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think that to going off of that piece, I think you combined all those different things together and you throw in social media and the comparison game and all that stuff, especially on the female side of things. Like, I mean, pick up TikTok or Instagram or any of this stuff and you scroll through and it's like, I mean, my wife and I, we got a three-year-old. We got a 3-month-old, just new little girl. And the more I look at that and just seeing those things, is like, no one could have prepared me for the sense of urgency that brought to me. Like, everyone says it's going to go through and change your life and everything, which of course it is. Like, I mean, if you have a serious bone in your body, you want to go through and make sure you're taking care of your family. But the urgency piece of like, what do I want her life to look like?
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Like, and where do I want her to be brought up? Like, what do I want her to be able to learn? Who do I want her to surround herself by? Like, I think a lot about what you're kind of talking about and just, you know, hearing that fact of young women being one of the largest growing, groups committed to suicide and doing that. It's like, you look at all those different factors, the food and everything that's ultimately being applied in, but it's like, who are these young women going through and surrounding themselves by? And, you know, what are they consuming even when they're by themselves? And what do they think it means to be, you know, just a strong woman in today's society, right? And I think that's the same thing on the guy's side too. Like, there's a lot of that different stuff. It's like, dude, you don't see it. And we have a lot, majority of the guys that work here are younger individuals. And it's like, it comes down to the basics. Like, actually look someone in the eye, shake their hand, and like, get to know them. Like, those are things that were just like normal traits back, like when I was growing up and being brought up in, and just having that respect for the men and women to your left and right. Simple shit. Like, I mean, dude, holding the door open, yes sir, yes ma'am, like no sir, no ma'am, like those different things. And you don't see that nowadays. And if you don't have respect for the common individual, your neighbor, like how, like what kind of self-respect do you have, right? So looking at that, it's like, how many people actually know their neighbors? And I don't live in a city. Like, I grew up on a farm. Like, being in Missouri here, this is the close, like, I mean, I live in a cul-de-sac now and I have neighbors all around me. And we know them all because they all have gardens, and we got the chickens, and like, they're all, I mean, shit, we moved into the community and we're probably the youngest couple in that spot. So it's like, they're wondering if we're going to go and party and rage and all this different shit. And it's like, no, hey, we're here to go through and, you know, live our life. And we know all of them. Next door is Tom. He's like the local Santa Claus and everything. And it's getting to know those people who are actually our neighbors. Like, I think about it nowadays, like, how many people actually do know their neighbors, right? Especially in a city where maybe you live a foot away from them when it comes into like the buildings, right? Yeah. Or the apartments that you're in. And how do you treat them? Because there's such a disregard to individuals, just humanity, yeah, in that sense.
Well, it used to be like, if you moved into a new neighborhood, and it's still true in some places. The neighborhood I live in Texas is like that, but there's only 180 people in the whole goddamn city. Yeah. But when you move in, people come say hi, right? Or, you know, mm-hmm, they help you move your shit in. I guess most people use movers these days, so that's not a thing. But it used to be that you would help somebody move their shit in, or you would at least bring them some food because you realize their shit's all packed up so they can't cook for themselves, and you don't, yeah, want them to have to go eat fast food for the next week. Right. You know, and it's, you got to find those opportunities to reconnect with people for sure. Because, when grifters come by, and by grifters can be a lot of people, it can be snake oil salesmen, or it can be the goddamn government. When they come by and we all know each other, they can't fucking play that he said, she said, mom and dad bullshit. We all know what the fucking deal is, right? And we're like, nah, because they're like, oh, your neighbor next door said he was into this. Like, no, I can know for a fact that motherfucker's not into this. You're lucky that he didn't beat you to death when you fucking knocked on this door, to be honest.
yeah.
And another thing about this that you kind of mentioned is, it matters who heroes in society are, right? like the quality of people that are that people look up to is super important. Back in the day, during World War II, a lot of athletes and a lot of fucking actors left very promising careers to go serve in the military, for example. You don't see that much anymore. I mean, the only one I can think of is Pat Tillman, to be honest, who's done something like that. Maybe there's more, and I don't remember them. But, you know, maybe you could call me a fucking curmudgeon for saying so, but if young women are looking up to the Kardashians and shit like that, we got a real fucking problem. You know, this is, like, the people we elevate in society is a macro version of aspirational marketing, right? It's like you put those people on display because that's the people that you want others to be like. You know what I mean? They're setting the example for everybody else. And we will produce the quality of human being commensurate with the heroes we put on pedestals, right? Like, so if we're talking about, you know, veterans and police and firefighters and doctors and nurses and shit like that, then that's what we're going to get. We're going to get people whose goals in life are focused around serving other people. But if we get fucking TikTokers and people on Bravo Network and shit like that, then we're going to get assholes who want to be famous just for the sake of being famous, right? And they're going to do whatever they can to get there. And most of them won't. Most of them won't get there. So they're going to suffer all the psychological abuse of thinking that way because we are biologically programmed to serve each other, and they're going to be doing the opposite of that. And they're going to be not successful at the same time, right? So you're going to, this is why I think it's hitting the female group harder than anybody else, frankly.
I would agree. Like, I think that's a big piece, because there is that, to the point, it's like, well, if they see the Kardashians or like reality TV, I mean, that's what they think it means to be successful, right? Like, and then when they're not going through and achieving those things, like, one, they act that way, right? Like, you mimic your heroes, right? Like, who are your heroes in your life? Who do you look up to? Like, you follow through on the traits that ultimately they go through and act upon. So one, it's like, how do they treat each other's partner? Well, it's not a great representation of like how they're going to go through and treat a partner. Will they ever have a partner that's actually going to go through and support them? If that's the scenario, probably not the best relationship advice out there, right? So you look at all of that stuff. Like, I'd agree 100% is we're making individuals, essentially, we're making those individuals stand out and being more popular than really the important people who should be, right? And that's where it comes in, is like, what are you surrounding yourself by? Like, I don't have TV direct or anything at home. Like, we have Netflix, like, for movie night and all that stuff. Like, I don't buy into a lot of the news and all that different stuff on that. So honestly, like, some of, like, you know a lot more than I do when it comes into different politics. The majority of the stuff that I get is just like through my own personal research, things I know and learn from other individuals here. Like, falling into a lot of that different propaganda stuff is just something that my wife and I both ultimately stay away from. So,
yeah, you're lucky, you know, and it's another, you know, some of the heroes that we've had in the past, like, it's just different. Because there will be some intersection of popularity, right? So people that are in the entertainment industry, whether it's athletes or musicians or whatever else, actors and shit like that, there's going to be more eyeballs on them than the average person, just because that's what they do, right?
Right.
And, you know, it's easy to tell people, well, I shouldn't listen to what these people think and blah, blah, blah. There's a bunch of asshole, out of touch assholes. It's like, yeah, but we've been listening to them for a long time. Let's not pretend like we didn't. It was just the quality of person was quite a bit different. People like Walter Johnson, who was a baseball player, and Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio, they went to serve their countries during the time of war. You know, Jimmy Stewart, who's one of the most famous actors in the history of this country, retired as a major general in the Air Force. You know what I mean? And he served in two different wars. It's like, not that everybody's got to serve in the military or anything like that, but it used to be a lot closer. Like, that group of people who serve and the group of people who entertain used to be quite a bit closer than they are today. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, it's certainly a good advice not to listen to those assholes now, but it would be, I think, a great benefit to our country and to our culture if we were able to, you know, reclaim some of those people a little bit. And there are some really good dudes out there that I know that are very successful actors who do this stuff a lot, like my buddy Clayton Crawford, David Boreanaz, who everybody knows from like SEAL Team and Buffy and all that shit, and all the guys that he works with, AJ Buckley's a good buddy of ours, Neil Brown, all those guys, Justin Melnick, they're just like super quality dudes who go out of their way. Gary Sinise is another one, Lieutenant Dan, who just goes out of their way to serve people and shit like that. And I don't think, you know, we spend way too much time bitching about all the bad ones and not enough time talking about the good ones. Right? So it's like, think about, there's 100% of media that's going to happen in a conversation about media. Are we going to spend all of it listening to and talking about the bad ones? Or are we going to fucking carve out a little section for these people who are actually doing good work? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think that's like what you guys are doing. I mean, this podcast, you know, Drinking Bros podcast, because even I've listened to a handful of those ones and just getting into different topics and things that are going on. You know, it's things that like Joe and Cam are doing, and really the podcasts that are out there, to where it's like you're able to go through and have control over, you know, the media that you're putting out and ultimately helping tell those individual stories. Like, that's, you know, the big media isn't necessarily going to go through and show a lot of that stuff, because one, I mean, the negative, or, you know, the bad things that are happening, those are the things that, like, I mean, everyone's looking for the car crash. You hear the brakes go and you're like, everyone's ready to see it, right? So people are drawn to that. And it's really cool when you do see some of those bigger media platforms go through and share some of those, like, those success stories, or, you know, the stories of someone who is out there doing good. Because honestly, I mean, it's that reticulator activating system. Like, you know, you go through, and for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's like, it's, you buy a brand new vehicle. Well, I buy, you know, a brand new Chevy pickup truck. Well, now it's like, I look around and all I see is a Chevy pickup truck. It's like, oh, everyone had the same idea as me, right? Well, it's, I've built up such an emotional experience to this thing, right? To where now I start seeing it everywhere. And it's the same thing. Like, if all we're focusing on is the negative, even in our day-to-day relationships and what we're looking at in the world, all we're going to get back is negative, right?
Sure.
We switch the perception of like, hey, are we focusing, to your point, looking at the positives, looking at the good people who are out there, like, we're going to start seeing more of that. I think that's something, like, with the new generation and everything coming up, I mean, that comes down to all of us going through and just being good examples overall as individuals.
Yeah, and taking the time out to fucking highlight people that are doing the right thing too. There's a quote, I've mentioned it on the show before, but there's a quote from an old religious writer. It was an organization called Focus on the Family, and it was a parenting book. And they said, the author said that the more often you catch your kids doing the right thing, the less often you'll catch them doing the wrong thing, right? And you can frame that however you want. Some people on the hippie side might say that you're manifesting or being positive, and some people on the right would just say you're reinforcing, not right, but on the more clinical side might say that you're just classical conditioning somebody to, you know, be more in tune with fucking positive reward than negative reward, right? Which works for dogs, by the way. You know, if you try to train a dog through fear, then you're not going to have a very well-trained dog. If you train them through food, then you will. It's weird how that works, right? I don't think humans are that much different. I think we use way too much stick and not quite enough carrot. And I know that might sound weird in this victimhood mentality where everybody's getting a trophy and a pat on the back, but giving somebody a trophy for not accomplishing something is not a carrot, right? Like that is a horrible thing you can do for someone to teach them that they don't have to fucking do anything to get the stuff that they need. That's fucking stupid, right? So, you know, setting up, we talk about, especially in managerial positions, setting people up to succeed, setting a human being up to succeed is establishing as early as possible in their life and then reinforcing that there's a link between effort and outcome, right? That you are the author of your own calamity or your own success. You get to choose, for the most part. Like, fucked up shit's going to happen in life. That's just the way it is. But for the most part, you get to choose how your day is going to go. And I like these phrases, like, did you have a bad day, or did you have a bad 5 minutes and you let it ruin the rest of your day? Or did you have a bad week, or did you have one bad day and then you let it ruin the rest of your week? It's like, this stuff is, you know, to your point, being in the right headspace and learning how to process information correctly. It's one thing, like, your body processes food, you know, your body processes nutrients and sunlight and water and all this other stuff, but your brain processes everything that comes in and out of it as well. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's really important that you have the right attitude towards this shit.
Right. Well, that's just kind of going back. I think that's when looking at just even the first from outdoors side of it and building into that is like bring people together, right? Help give them the tools that they need. And really, honestly, like just get back to the grassroots. I mean, not cliche in that sense, but literally get back to the grassroots of all of it and having a respect for ultimately where we come from. And really being able to bring people together, connect them back, give them the food that they ultimately need. And just be a good fucking human. Like it's really, it's amazing to me how hard that is for some people. I understand the trap that people get stuck in at times to where it is, it's like a negative, just black hole, but you gotta ask yourself who you surround yourself by, what are you consuming, what are you reading, what are you listening to? Like all those things play into all of that.
Yeah, you know, it's, I'll tell you, you know, if you surround yourself with people who are doing the right thing with the right attitude, and then you start doing that stuff, it's gonna stop being what you do and start becoming who you are pretty rapidly, right? Like your nature as a human being shifts pretty rapidly. And it'll become exponentially more rapid too, because you start to feel better, not just physically, but psychologically you start to feel better. So that's, you know, it's important to, so like you're going to rise and fall to the level of the company you keep. If you're hanging around a bunch of shitbags all the time who are like, I'll go do that thing tomorrow, or they're thinking about themselves all the time or whatever the fuck else, then that's who you're going to become. You know, so you got to decide not to do that shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you guys are doing a lot of stuff in that regard. Tell me before we get out of here, we got to go in a minute, but tell me, what you guys have going on with First Form Outdoors that people can get involved in.
Yeah. So, I mean, if people are wanting to get involved with First Form Outdoors, we have we got the pro staff search going on. Really, we're looking for, good individuals who are going to be cornerstone people within the organization, whether it's hunting, fishing, hiking, camping, off-roading, all factors of it. We have that going on. You'll be able to get in on that piece, checking out on the website, just firstformoutdoors.com. And then outside of that, getting in First Form Outdoors private Facebook group, that is a community that I'm very, it's a community of what we've kind of all talked about, right? Live a lifestyle allows you to experience more of the outdoors and surround yourself by good people who believe in those same values and the overall mission to it. So that Facebook group is open to anyone, everyone. It is private because I want to make sure that we're keeping it, keeping the shitbags out of it when it comes in, or the people who are just trying to stir the pot in those different areas. So do hold standards within that group. First From Outdoors, Instagram, all that stuff there. And honestly, guys, like we're going to be, especially within the Facebook group, we're working on some things with the website. We got some different stuff coming up, some different giveaways that are going to be really, we're diving into kind of the fishing side of things. We're diving into the hunting side of things, trying to allow people to experience, you know, different outdoor experiences that maybe they wouldn't have been able to go through and experience in their lifetime. Like I said earlier, like I grew up on a farm in central Wisconsin. Well, I've been going out elk hunting ever since I was 8 years old, and I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to be brought up in that family. But I also know like a lot of people never had those opportunities. And a part of the First From Outdoors piece is like giving people the opportunity to get out there and experience it with friends, family, the people that they want to be able to experience it with. So we got some cool things coming down the pipeline. I would just keep your eyes open for things as they transpire moving into 2024 here. You guys can always go through, if you ever have questions or anything like that, you can always reach out to me just at Jake Arvold on Instagram. We got a lot of stuff in the pipeline, that's for sure. And I'm excited for what 2024 is going to ultimately hold as we move further and further into it.
Sweet. Yeah. And probably some decent partnerships, to keep an eye out for as well. And then before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you again. Jake Arvold, ARVOLD on Instagram. Where else should they reach out if they need any information on this stuff?
Yeah, so just Jake Arvold on Instagram. Jake Arvold is ARVOLD. And then you can, same thing, Jake Arvold on Facebook. You can get into that Facebook group. I manage that thing on a day-to-day basis. So if you do join that, like you'll get a message and everything from me coming into it. Those are really the two main platforms overall.
Sweet. Well, look, man, thanks for coming today. It's been a good conversation. I like what you guys are doing over there. You know, it's important to get people back outdoors and doing it in a way that is, you know, I guess that lowers the barrier to entry to understand how you do some of this stuff so you can get out there and get the benefit of it. So thanks for coming today and talking about all that.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dan. It was awesome having on.
Yes, sir. And thank you all for listening. This has been Citizen.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.